Have you ever felt connected to a place? Well, it turns out that the places all around us hold more power than we think. I'm Julia Suka, your curious guide with a love for coffee, travel, and psychology. In each episode, I chat with experts and explore all sorts of places, from the ordinary to the downright bizarre. Together, we'll venture from the cozy corners of coffee shops that teach us the power of community to the peaks of the world's tallest mountains that dare us to live life on the edge. Join me as I uncover the stories and the science of how our inner and outer worlds connect. You're listening to The Power of Places. Picture this. You're on your lunch break and you step foot into a restaurant, hungry and ready for a meal. You place your order for sushi, but when the waiter arrives, he puts a plate of dumplings in front of you instead. Your instinct might be to correct the mistake and wait for your waiter to bring your sushi. But here's the twist. In this place, getting the wrong order is all part of the fun. You see, this isn't your ordinary restaurant. It's a unique concept born out of a desire to raise awareness about dementia. In this restaurant, the waitstaff often mix up orders, misunderstand requests, or even enjoy a sip of water meant for a table. And guess what? It's all part of the charm. These servers have dementia, and their genuine mistakes are embraced rather than criticized. In today's episode, we're diving into the heartwarming story of the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders, located in Tokyo, Japan. The Restaurant of Mistaken Orders isn't just about food. It's a pop-up restaurant designed to change perceptions about aging and cognitive impairment. Created by Japanese television director Shiro Oguni, this initiative aims to showcase the very human side of people living with dementia. Oguni's inspiration came from a simple experience, being served a dumpling instead of a burger at a nursing home. Rather than sending it back, he saw it as an opportunity for empathy and understanding, and the idea for this groundbreaking project was born. But the real beauty of the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders lies in its message of kindness and inclusivity. Despite the mix-up, customers leave with smiles on their faces, and the impact is profound. After one event, 99% of diners expressed satisfaction with their meal, despite 37% of orders being mistaken. But this isn't just about food. It's about changing society's perceptions of dementia. In a world where the elderly are often marginalized, this initiative offers a fresh perspective. Instead of fear and isolation, we see joy, camaraderie, and laughter. And as the global population ages, projects like the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders become increasingly relevant. With an expected rise in dementia cases, it's even more important to create a culture of compassion and understanding. Shiro Oguni's vision is simple yet profound: to create a world where we can all live together in harmony, dementia or no dementia. Having seen my own family members live with dementia, I understand the struggles that they go through. While they may not have been suited for restaurant work, I believe that they could have used their skills in other ways. So naturally, I was curious to hear expert opinions on initiatives like this, so I sat down with dementia specialist Tipa Snow to hear her thoughts on the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders. Tipa is the founder of The Positive Approach to Care. She's written books on dementia and is a popular speaker, and she's even given her own TED Talks on the topic of dementia.
So I'm Tipa Snow. I'm by training an occupational therapist, and I have been in the field of practice for over 40, getting close to 44 years. So my background, I had family members who developed dementia, and I was curious about that, but I was actually working in the field of developmental disabilities as a teenager and was really interested in developmental disabilities as a potential career choice. There was an opportunity after I graduated to spend time in an adult day program that also served people with developmental disabilities. And so that was my opportunity to get super involved. And that's where somebody from the OT school came and worked with somebody I was working with and said, oh, you should be an OT. So I'm, oh, okay. And after that, when I graduated, I moved into the field of gerontology because I felt like there was such a huge gap between what we were doing with people who were younger and had strokes and people who were older and had strokes, people who were younger and had developmental disabilities versus people who were older and were showing cognitive changes. So it was like, wait, what? So that's what got me in that space, was having experiences with people and and there being this dismiss or disregard of the human being and realizing, yeah, however, if you do it differently, you know, this doesn't have to be this way.
There seems to be a common misunderstanding about dementia. Many people think it's just memory loss, often confusing it with Alzheimer's disease. But in reality, dementia includes a much broader range of symptoms and conditions.
What is dementia? Way too many folks think the only dementia there is Alzheimer's, and they think that's about memory problems. So we've got to eliminate that and switch it up. And like, oh, yeah, there's over 120 forms, causes, and types of dementia so far, and we probably discover more. And there's a time period and a progression pattern, and it's not just about loss. It's about abilities and interests and skills. And so the more we learn, then we're going to be ready to support. But first, you got to be willing to go, I don't know what I need to know about this condition that's going to affect, oh, man, one out of every three people over the age of 70, one out of three. And when you get up in the 80s, it's every other person. I mean, that's a lot of people to have brain change going on, and we haven't figured it out. In dementia, we know people lose abilities. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So my goal is to notice what's missing, but then to work with what they still have. So we work on the remaining abilities and use that to bridge, crossover, support, so that people can still shine and people can still feel whole and have purpose and connect and live well, even with their dementia. And so can their care partners, because it turns out family are devastated by this disease when all I view is what they're losing.
When I first brought up the restaurant of mistaken orders with Tipa, I almost expected her to see it as a publicity stunt, more about grabbing attention than actually making a meaningful impact. However, to my surprise, she embraced the initiative wholeheartedly. In fact, it aligns perfectly with Tipa's vision of integrating people with dementia into society, emphasizing their value rather than dismissing them.
It's about time. Oh my heavens, what a wonderful lead. I mean, that is the change we need, to see people as whole people. Yes, when you walk into that restaurant situation, you're going, yeah, you know, so I won't get what I was looking for. As long as I get something to eat, that'd be cool. You know, but it says, look at how much I can do. I may be imperfect, but look in the mirror. Are you truly a perfect human being? Or do you make mistakes? Let's just like quit pointing out the missing pieces. And let's say, well, they can serve. They can bring the bowl. They can serve. And it may not be exactly what you ordered. But, you know, sometimes I order something. I think I know what I'm getting and I get it. And it's like, well, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be. How many of you have ever had that? Have you ever had that experience at a restaurant? Poutine, huh? That's what it is. You know, the last time I had it in another restaurant, I wish I'd said something about that egg thing, because I don't like the egg thing. I like the other stuff, but man, that was a mistake. I didn't know about it. I thought you had to order an extra.
Taking care of a family member with dementia can be really tough, and it puts a lot of pressure on those looking after them. But one question that Tipa often gets is, how do we take care of our loved ones as their condition changes? Many families decide to take care of them at home, even if they're still functioning somewhat normally. Tipa supports initiatives like the restaurant because they help ease the stress on caregivers and give people with dementia a sense of purpose despite their setbacks.
Because it's like, if I love being of service, give me service, because now I live with purpose versus, well, she can't do the bank thing anymore. And it's like, well, no, I can't be a teller at a bank, but maybe I could serve in another way. I mean, I don't know why you want to throw me away. I mean, I've been around a long time. I have some things that are built in. I've got a lot of cerebellar function. I've got a lot of legit sort of abilities. I know how to do some really core things. And if I get it wrong, like, is it really drama time? Or is it just, well, that didn't work out the way I thought it would. I mean, we can all be more willing to accept that life isn't going to be perfect. But boy, how wonderful to have a space and a place where I can still be me.
Tipa's approach aims to shift how we perceive dementia. Instead of labeling people with dementia as either functional or non-functional, she suggests viewing it on a sliding scale and assessing people's abilities as their condition evolves.
Yeah. So one of the really, really crazy things, which is what I'm combating, is why is it that we have to families have to pay so much to have somebody come hang out for a day and be with folks? I mean, adult day health programs, my health is actually pretty good. I have some cognitive problems, but my health is decent. And I actually can do things if I have some guidance. So, you know, maybe we should figure out how to make use of people's abilities rather than simply try to house them in a quote unquote safe space, a protected space. So there's a separate, I mean, it's so reminiscent of the developmental disability world back in the 1980s, 90s, where we said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hang on, people can work at McDonald's. People can actually, you know, be the servers. People can actually cook. People can learn all this stuff. It takes more time. They will need a coach. We may have to modify. But, you know, once we do that, look, people are everywhere with developmental disabilities and they're living their lives and they're getting on buses and they're experiencing mass transit and we're all figuring it out. And when it gets to a certain place, the world I can occupy is smaller and smaller, and what I'm able to do is maybe more and more limited, but I'm still in here. I mean, you know, you have to figure out how to knock on the door so I can come and answer, but for a lot of years, I'm not a nothing. I'm not unable. But yet I'm differently able. So I view dementia as a disability. Now it's constantly changing. So I need supportive people who get that and aren't like, well, she was fine yesterday. And it's like, yep, she was. Today's a different day. How's your brain doing today? Because I hope yours is on top notch because hers is not.
For those who aren't diagnosed with dementia, TIPA provides some preventative tips to reduce the risk of developing it.
One of the things that we really want younger people to realize is how you live your life when you're younger either increases your risk of developing dementia as you get older or decreases it. Actually getting a rush from being social, but not having to feel like the intensity of it. So it doesn't stress you out. It actually feels good when you're social, finding your social space and developing your skills in that. That's going to really make a difference as you age as to whether or not you will be able to make new friends when you lose friends, when you move, when something else happens. And social isolation is a huge risk factor for developing dementia. Or your sleep patterns. When you're younger, if you get into this habit of like, not enough, not enough, you are actually getting your brain to a place where it doesn't clean itself very well. It doesn't know how to clean itself. And so it goes through your life having trash building up in your brain much younger. How about how you eat and when you eat and all that exercise, or maybe you don't. All those things start to add up over time. And so by the time you're in your 60s, it's starting to catch up with you. But it started way back when you're a teenager and a younger person that did you or didn't you lay down synapses of a behavior that will serve you well as you move forward.
Right.
Being physically active, cognitively active, finding social connections you really enjoy and are healthy.
The traditional approach to dementia often involves removing individuals from their job, home, or social environment. While this still may be necessary in certain cases, TIPA proposes a different perspective. She suggests that many people living with dementia can actually benefit from maintaining their job, social interactions, and living arrangements. Instead of completely removing these comforts, the key is actually to adapt them to the individual's needs.
No, there's still neuroplasticity. The cool part is no matter when you start, there's plasticity. Now, there are parts that the person is losing function in, but the interesting part, there are whole other parts of the brain that develop. And so that you can lay down new synapses, even though you have moderate to severe and even severe dementia, people can actually lay down new synapses in certain areas, but not the ones that we're most interested in, which is that ability to recognize you as my granddaughter and remember the memory of when you were on the front porch. And you got to let go of that to go, oh, look at that, and have that energy. And she goes, that's beautiful. And is celebrate that because she may not have spoken in a while. And we're both looking at this amazing flower or a piece of cheese or who knows what we're looking at, but we're finding it, wow, together.
So in that respect, I think even having people with dementia integrated more into society, into social activities, into work scenarios such as the restaurant could actually even be more beneficial in prolonging it and not prolonging it, but delaying it.
It actually buys you time with fewer symptoms. Right. I mean, and that's huge. The longer you can live with fewer negative symptoms, fewer episodes of distress for either of us, whether it's my partner or me, you know, the person trying to support me, Wow, that's a big deal.
As we've seen in today's episode, the Restaurant of Mistaken Orders isn't just a quirky restaurant. This initiative showcases the true power of place, showing us how a simple restaurant can become a catalyst for positive change. By celebrating the genuine mistakes of its staff living with dementia, it challenges stereotypes and creates a sense of belonging. As my conversation with Tipa comes to an end, let's take inspiration from this initiative and strive to create more welcoming and compassionate places for people. And as always, I threw in our bonus question, something I ask all our guests on The Power of Places.
I'm wondering, what is your favorite place to be?
My absolute favorite place to be is outdoors in a mountainous area. I love terrain. I love to see water, but I don't necessarily want to be in it. But I do love hiking. I love overlooks. I love being out in the world, in nature. I love birdsong. I love animals and watching them, and human beings too. I love to watch human beings. They're so funny.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Power of Places. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. And if you want to dive deeper and connect with listeners just like you, follow me on Instagram at The Power of Places. Until next time, keep exploring, and I'll see you in our next adventure.